Well, good evening. Welcome to worship on Christmas Eve. It is here, and we are excited to celebrate. I know children are excited because there's probably a couple presents under the tree, maybe more coming in the morning. And you've done a lot over the past month to prepare for Christmas, and family is in, and you may be traveling, and college students have finals in the rearview mirror, and they hadn't even thought about them again. And we're here tonight. Over this past time, we've been preparing our hearts, anticipating the excitement of what we celebrate together as the body of Christ tonight. And that is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, God in flesh, God who came near to be present with us. And I want to welcome you to First Presbyterian Church to be a part of worshiping and celebrating together the birth of our Savior. I just wanted to share something that my three-year-old Mary Catherine said to me this week. She was running around the house. She was singing, "It's a most wonderful time," in a three-year-old voice, "most wonderful time of the year," just over and over the same line. And I said, "Mary Catherine, why is it the most wonderful time of the year?" She said, "Presents." And I said, "Presents, yeah." I said, "But it's also a time when we celebrate the coming of Jesus." And you know what she did? Without missing a beat, a scowl on her face, "But Jesus is already here." And I thought, you know, out of the mouths of babes, And we celebrate 2,000 years ago, Jesus coming in the flesh, but he's here tonight. He's here in the form of his Spirit in your heart, living among us, changing the world one heart at a time. And so I encourage you tonight to celebrate with us and with the children as they lead us, to engage your heart and your mind and celebrate. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for we celebrate the coming of a Savior, the great Rescuer, the great Redeemer, the one who came in flesh. Lord Jesus, we praise you because you came to do what we could not, and you lived a sinless life because you love us deeply. And Lord, you took the punishment that we deserve upon the cross because you love us deeply. And Lord Jesus, you did not let death hold you, but you were resurrected. And now you're seated in the throne room of heaven, interceding for your people. And Lord Jesus, you send your Spirit to continue your ministry here among us. And Lord, we are thankful that you have come near. And we're thankful that you, Jesus, are here tonight. So we pray that you hear our praises as adoration in your ears. We pray that you hear us sing praises that will be heard in the throne room of heaven, and the angels will be singing in chorus with us. Thank you that the gift of Jesus is what we come to celebrate tonight, our rescuing Savior. And it's just his name that we pray, the name of Jesus, that name above every name, the Alpha, the Omega, the seed that crushed the head of Satan, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Well, we've been anticipating by lighting our Advent candles for the past 4 weeks, and this is the culminating moment where we light the Christ candle. And so I asked the Giacini family to come on up and lead us in the lighting of our Advent candle.
Tonight, we light all 5 candles. As we celebrate the wonder of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, let us too celebrate our rebirth into eternal life. This everlasting gift was the sole purpose for his entering our sin-stained world. Receive his gift with awe and humility. Take time to explore the vast dimensions of his love. Allow thankfulness to flow freely from your heart in response to his glorious gift. Let his peace rule in your heart and be thankful.
The first scripture reading is from Psalm chapter 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting you are God. The second scripture, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The final reading, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful.
Please join us in prayer. Father, we praise you because on this special day, your word became flesh in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to imitate your incarnation by manifesting our faith in our conduct as well as our speech. Oh, Father, it is to you we give our honor, praise, worship, and love in the most holy and precious name of the one who was born today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
people who walked in darkness have seen a great light.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined.
We have beheld Christ's glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given.
In him was life, and the light was the light of all people.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have filled us with the new light of the Word who became flesh and lived among us. Let the light of our faith shine in all we do, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times, and he will be their peace.
Thank you. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary.
And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be.
But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end."
"How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin."
The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God."
"I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Thank you. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world.
And everyone went to his own town to register.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David.
He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and expecting a child.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night.
And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger.
Thank you.
On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
He was with God in the beginning.
Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made.
In him was life, and that life was the light of men.
The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it.
The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the One and Only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
I welcome you this Christmas Eve. Let's take a few moments and greet one another. And if you can, find someone you do not know and wish them a Merry Christmas. Okay, thank you. Hey, that was great. Didn't the kids do great? Yeah, thank you so much. It's fun to hear their little voices lead out, right? You just want to get on with them and get in tune and sing and have the same joy that a little one has. That's beautiful, isn't it? That our joy would continually be renewed year after year until that great day. Well, this evening our offering is going to be given to retired PCA pastors and widows. So it's a special designated offering. We'd encourage you to be generous. It will not be used by our church. It'll be used for those who are in need in our greater PCA family. I would encourage each of us to be generous. Would you pray with me? Father, we come on this special evening. It's been wonderful already. To see the children and hear their voices. And Lord, quite often a voice reveals a heart. And we heard some beautiful hearts tonight, and eager hearts wanting to sing out and give you glory and praise. And so, Father, we pray tonight with a smile in our voice as well. eager to talk to our Father. Abba, Daddy, we recognize you tonight as our Father. And Jesus, we recognize you and worship you as our older brother. And through you, we have been adopted as sons and daughters. And so we come in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we're so thankful for you over these last few months. We have certainly gotten to know you better. And we have found such comfort in you being our comforter. And we have found such hope in you being the one who gives us new life. And we have found a great hope in knowing that you convict us of our sins and you lead us into the paths of righteousness. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for the deepening of our relationship. We pray it would go on, and it would not stop at the great day of Jesus' return, but it certainly would be different, made in a more full, meaningful way for us. Father, tonight we join our voices with those around the world who worship Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born as a little baby in a cattle stall. And we pray that our voices would be united in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that in kindness you would rest on us tonight. And as our families are here with us, Lord, we're also mindful of our family members who've gone on to glory ahead of us. We think of grandmas and grandpas and mommies and daddies and uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews and cousins. And, oh, Father, the family of God is immeasurable for us. And so our hearts think of those who are not sitting next to us squeezing our hand or giggling at the appropriate moment or giving us a cuddle. So, Father, we thank you that they are in your care. And we pray, dear God, that you would open our eyes of faith, that we too would long for the day when you take us home to be in your presence. So, Father, for those who need you desperately tonight, myself included, please fill us with your Spirit to overflowing, that we would be controlled by you, Holy Spirit. And we pray, dear God, that you would bring revival to the United States of America, that every Christian in our country would be filled with the love of Christ in such a way that we would overflow with your glory. And Father, now we commit this offering to you for your use, for our dear brothers and sisters, retired, and those also, Lord, who've been widowed, who need help here toward the end of their life. Would you please help us to be generous to care for them? And Lord, it's such a blessing for us to give, and I pray we would do so in the pattern that this church has done for about 174 years, giving their lives, our lives, for the sake of others, because Jesus gave his life for us. We make this prayer in your name, Jesus, and all of God's people said together, Amen.
Thank you. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Our scripture lesson this evening is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 10 through 14. That's on page 857 in your pew Bible. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. You know, to hold a little baby, just the feel of a little one in your arms, and there's nothing like a little baby's breath when you cuddle them close to your face, and the way their little bodies smell, you just want to cuddle them in your arms forever and ever and ever. And in a way, you hope they'll never grow up, just to have that little one close to you. And Mary, Jesus' mother, cuddled him up, just like we would and we do. And she cuddled him up and wrapped him in a cloth and snuggled him close to her heart. The mind of Mary. What all did she know and believe about this little baby boy snuggled in close to her chest? It's an amazing story. Each year I take a word or two from the scriptures that the children read and sing for us. So tonight I want us to think about what it means to be swaddled. Swaddling cloth. Jesus was swaddled at birth. In general, in ancient times, people were swaddled twice during their lifetime. They were swaddled at birth, and they were swaddled at death. And so with Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." And then verse 12, "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Now, a little baby isn't clothed. A little baby is swaddled. Well, what does swaddled mean? It means they're wrapped in a long cloth. Ancient times and history tell us that they had a cloth that was about 5 inches wide. So think about maybe the width of my hand or your hand. It's about 18 feet long. So let's start over here by the harp. And let's take 6 pretty good steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. About 18 feet. 5 inches wide, 18 feet long. And they had wrapped that little baby in it. That's what it means to be swaddled. And so they would swaddle up this baby. And typically, they would do it in 2 steps. First of all, the mother or the midwife, you know, most babies were born outside of hospitals in those days, right? Kind of like today. We have quite a few babies around the world who are not birthed in a birthing room. They're birthed on a dirt floor or out in the wilderness. And so this little one, our Jesus, typically a 2-step process. The midwife or the mother would take salt and they would pulverize it. Pulverize means they'd smash it up and they would turn it into a powder. And they had one cloth that was about 3 by 3, so about a yard square. And they would take this cloth and they would lay the cloth down. And as they would place the cloth down, then they would take the baby. After the baby was born, they'd wash the baby with water. And then they'd place the baby in the middle of this cloth, usually at a diagonal. And then they would take this salt and this pulverized, powdered salt, and they would rub it all over the baby's body. And they would fold this little baby up, they'd put the feet together, the hands by the side, and they would wrap this cloth around the baby, and then they would take this 18 foot, 5 inches wide, a swaddling cloth, and they would start wrapping. They would start under the chin, and they would go around the forehead, around the head, down around, the little arms tucked in, all the way around, all the way down to the feet, and tuck it down in the bottom. You had a swaddled child when you were done. That's what it means to be wrapped in swaddling cloths. The little baby couldn't move their hands, it couldn't move their feet. They were all tucked in, safe. And so little Jesus, or Yeshua, was swaddled by his mother Mary. Now, Jesus was also swaddled at death. And we find this story in John chapter 19. I'll read 3 verses. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths, once again, these swaddling cloths, with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. So Jesus was once again swaddled. He was swaddled. His dead body was taken and washed. And then he was anointed with good-smelling herbs and spices, because death was waiting to consume Jesus' body. And so when Jesus was swaddled, he was completely dependent. As a little baby boy, he was completely dependent on his mother and father. And in his death, he was completely dependent on those who would come and care for his body, that they would swaddle his body, as was the custom of that day. Now, there will come a day when each and every one of us, if we're alive, I mean, if we've already died before Jesus returns, our bodies will be entrusted into the care of others. As we get older, we think about this. As we have our parents and our grandparents, and we see their capacities diminishing, we know that over time, they're going to be cast into the hands of caregivers, quite often their family, and we'll need to take care of them. Jesus, because he placed his faith in God, he put his body, his life, into the hands of his Father, into the hands of the Holy Spirit, into the hands of his family, into the hands of his disciples, even into the hands of those who would crucify Jesus. And so, while most babies and people who die are swaddled and they're helpless, we find a different outcome with Jesus. If you notice in John chapter 20, verse 1, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the," and here they are, "the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead." And so when a little baby was swaddled, they took this yard square piece of fabric and they folded the little one up in it and then wrapped him around with the long swaddling band or swaddling cloth. When someone was dead, as Jesus was, after his crucifixion, they took his body and they took that 3-foot square and they covered his face and head with it. It's the face cloth. And then they wrapped him with the swaddling cloth. But we find with Jesus, he wasn't held in that cloth. A little baby cannot get out of the cloth. If you swaddle a child and you've got them, right? You want to set them on the couch, they're fine. They're not going anywhere, right? If you swaddle a dead person's body, they're not going to go anywhere either. They're completely powerless. But not the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ burst through the swaddling cloth and he took off that head covering, folded it up and set it to the side. So much so when those two disciples came in, they went, whoa! Something amazing has happened here. They believed. They believed. They believed. And what did they believe? Well, the third and last point that I have for us this evening is that Christians are swaddled in Jesus' robe of righteousness. Isaiah 61:10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, for my soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Conclusion. Jesus was swaddled at birth. Jesus was swaddled at death. Yet, Jesus will swaddle his people in his robe of righteousness. All praise be to Jesus Christ at Christmas. Let's pray together. Father, we delight in this little truth. This little trail of cloth that we have followed through your scripture, the trail that has taken us even to the throne room of God at this moment. And so, Father, I pray for each one of us who are believers in Jesus. May we be convinced tonight afresh that we are swaddled in a robe of Jesus' righteousness. For that little baby boy, swaddled at birth, came to be a man who lived a perfectly righteous life, who died a substitutionary death for his people, and then was resurrected right through those cloths, right through them, and then folded up that face cloth or that head cloth and set it to the side. And John and Peter saw that and believed. And now tonight, Lord, we believe again. Maybe some for the first time, hearing the evidence presented in your word, they're like, that is amazing. Holy Spirit, you've convinced me. You've converted me. I believe that Jesus, that little baby boy, is truly the Son of God. And so, oh Lord, even now, wrap them as well in your robe of righteousness, that they would be swaddled, unable to escape the righteous reign of Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. We pray in your name, Jesus, and all God's people said together, Amen. Could I ask you to please stand?
As we prepare this evening for the Lord's Supper, there's a great irony in the life of Jesus. We're here tonight on Christmas Eve to celebrate the birth, the incarnation of Jesus. And at the same night that we celebrate his coming as a baby in a manger, we celebrate his death upon a cross in his resurrection. So this table is a visible picture for us of the gospel. So let's prepare our hearts for the ministry of the table. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful tonight for the gospel is truth, good news, that you came to buy back sinners, to pay the debt that we could not pay. Lord Jesus, we thank you and pray tonight that as we partake of this table, that you would set aside these very common elements of bread and wine, and you would use them for a holy purpose, that you would use them to strengthen your people, that our faith would grow stronger tonight as we proclaim once again that we believe in the good news that Jesus Christ saved his people. So we thank you, Jesus, for this feast of celebration, this night of celebration, that your people can gather together and celebrate the work of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Well, what about the manger? Well, the manger was basically a stall where they kept animals. That's where the King of Kings, the Son of God, was born, and that's where little baby Jesus was swaddled by Mary and loved on by his father Joseph as well, his earthly father. And in a manger denotes the humble nature of Jesus' birth. It's ironic, the sense that the great king would come and be born in a manger, but God is purposeful in his ways. God wants the most humble to come to his table. He wants us to recognize we don't come to the table based on social status. Well, I'm a business owner, or I'm a civic leader in the community, or I. No. It's not I. It's him. We're humble. This is the table for humble people. People who say, you know, it doesn't matter what I have or haven't accomplished in life. I am a lowly sinner, and my only hope is the work of Jesus Christ on my behalf. And so this is the table for humble people. This is the table for people who understand the concept of a stall, the concept that our sin has put us in a place that we need a Savior. So we don't come because of social standing. We don't come because of accomplishments. We don't come to this table based on a position within society. We come to this table based on a position won by us through the work of Jesus Christ. We're humble people. So we're going to eat humbly tonight. Not simply because we have just a little piece of cracker and a little sip of juice, but we're going to eat humbly because we're humble sinners in the need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, we're using the communion set that was used in 1840. Yes, 1840, a long time ago. As this church, in its beginning, was led by folks who were sent to minister to the Cherokee Indians. And so their communion set has been preserved, and we're going to use that tonight. But I ask you to look past 1840, go all the way back to the day of Jesus' birth, and see that our great King Jesus is inviting the people who believe in him, the humble people, the brokenhearted people, the contrite people, the people with no hope outside of Jesus. This is the table for you. Now, if you do not believe in Jesus, we would ask that you would allow the elements to pass you by. The American church in particular struggles greatly with hypocrisy, and we certainly don't want to encourage hypocrisy in our service this evening. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, eat heartily. If you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, simply let the elements pass. Even breathe a prayer. Lord, help me to believe. Help me to get my head around this. But most of all, move my heart so that I believe these truths that are set forward. So on the night that the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat." And then likewise after the supper, he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. take and drink. For as often as you do eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you show forth my death until my return. And so truly, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. And eat them. But mostly, feed by faith in your heart on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came as a baby, but He died as our Savior. He was resurrected as our Redeemer, and He rules and reigns until His return. If the officers will please come forward, we will serve you.
body given for us. We're his people. So take and eat. And then after the supper, he served the cup. Gentlemen, so swaddled in the robe of Christ's righteousness, unable to escape. He will never let His people go. Take and drink. Let's stand and sing together. And now receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace both now and in the life everlasting. Amen and Merry Christmas. Good evening.